live.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got 2 words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
That music means only one thing. It's Randy Day. 20 years of Randy Orton in WWE. Even though he debuted on SmackDown. It's Monday Night Raw. It's Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio. Presented as always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. I am Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
It was a joyous celebration of the Randy Days. But before we could get to the full Randy Days, we had to get to the Cody and Seth-ness.
We had Cody and Seth on this show. We had big returns on this show as well.
We did. We had several big returns.
So let's talk about one of the big returns. So Becky Lynch made her return to Monday Night Raw for the first time since losing the WWE Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. And she was embarrassed by coming back to Raw because it's been 3 years, yeah, 3 years since she walked onto WWE Monday Night Raw without the Raw Women's Championship.
That is correct. I could have sworn when she came back after having the baby. Wait, no, that's right. She came back at SummerSlam and then they had her on Raw the next night as a champion. That's right.
Yeah. It's been three years without a championship on her shoulder. So she came back tonight, and she's basically said she's hit rock bottom and that's all she had to say, but then thought about it. Because if she's hit rock bottom, that's all she has to do is now go up. It's only where to go from there. That means she's on the verge of a legendary comeback. She said she would overcome the hometown girl Bianca Belair and become the champion forever. No one will be able to stop her. And then she talks about all these people that won't be able to stop her until the return of Asuka. Asuka comes down. The crowd is excited to see Asuka because it's been since, like, I think July since we've seen her. It's been a while. It's been a minute. She yells, dances around. No one's ready for Asuka. And then she flicked the nose of Becky Lynch.
Like you do.
Becky tried to take a shot at Asuka. Asuka ducked, and Becky ducked out of the way herself. But it was cool to see Asuka back. Cool to see Becky, but cooler to see Asuka back, because it's been a while, and everyone's been waiting for Asuka.
It's been a long time since we've seen her. We've known she's been healthy. We've been waiting for her. I'm really glad that they used her thoughtfully and brought her back in the right moment to have her feud with Becky Lynch. As Becky now, you know, comes out of being the champion, they're going to take her probably out of the title picture for a while. Give Bianca a different challenger just to, you know, help with things. Because you don't want it to be too much of Becky and Bianca. You don't want to overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do it appropriately, so I'm very much about this, that they're going to have Asuka and Becky feud, because this should be fun.
It should be fun, and Asuka is sort of the thorn in Becky Lynch's side, if you remember correctly, that they've had their battles from time to time.
They have.
And remember, Becky gave Asuka the belt when she left.
Yes, and now Becky doesn't have a belt, mm-hmm. and Asuka's like, sup?
Yeah.
You want to fight?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, all right, I see what you did there. It was also, Asuka at one point the last time Becky was Raw Championship, Asuka beat her for the, or was when Becky was challenging Asuka for the, I think, the SmackDown title a few years back. And that led to Becky and them winning the Rumble, but, you know, it all started with a loss to Asuka. So Asuka's key here. Asuka's key in Becky history. So that's good.
And they're playing into it, which I like. They leaned into things tonight.
They did. And we'll get to the other leaning in a moment. But we had some footage of couples therapy with R-Truth as the one leading the way. He's, you know, he has certificates of for being a person who keep couples together and refereeing. And I don't know, it was a mixed tag match. Reggie and Dana taking on Kira Tozawa and Tamina. Tamina and Kira Tozawa got the win. Dana tried leaving. R-Truth rolled her off for two, but he's like, that's just part of, you know, that was a test. That was a test. It was strange.
It was strange, to say the least. Like, I like that, again, they're continuing the story, even if it is a little...
strange.
Strange. But that's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing, but I think they run out. I feel like we're running the course with this one.
They're gonna see it through. There's a point. I'm not sure what the point is at this stage, but, you know, it's getting multiple people on TV. It's got them involved in a story. We all need the little comedy bits and the moments of levity, so I have no problem with this. I think it's fine.
It's fine, but I think it's running its course just a little tad bit. Maybe we can come up with something a little bit more interesting with them. But we'll see.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm just waiting for them to say that R-Truth really isn't an officiant and none of them are married.
Well, we all know this. But that's a different story for a different day. Veer Mahan came very quickly defeating Tim the Tap Man. I mean, Sam Smothers.
Oh my god! Dude, that guy could make money as a Tim the Tap Man impersonator. Like, Jesus! Like, to the point that WWE was like, who do you think this is? Wrong answers only, and literally pretty much every answer was Tim the Tap Man. To the point that it got his attention and he was like, wait.
So there you go.
By the way, y'all could get Tim on Raw. That'd be nice.
Maybe one day?
It'd be cool. Like, I was kind of hoping he'd show up at Mania, but they didn't do it. So it's like, well, you could have him at Backlash or have him at SummerSlam or something like that. That would be cool.
It would be cool. It was Raw Women's Championship on the line. Bianca Belair defending against Sonya Deville. Match ended by countout. Then disqualification. Then normally, with Bianca Belair retaining, Sonya tried to abuse her power. She brought in Queen Zelina and Carmella to help her out, but things did not go their way. Bianca was able to retain. And then they were backstage arguing, because the match was one thing. Backstage, they're arguing, and they were promised stuff from Sonya, and Sonya wasn't living up to her end of the deal, so she slapped Zelina. Carmella then goes to slap Sonya, and well... she reminds her that I'm your boss, and then she slaps the ever-living crap out of Carmella. It sent shockwaves around the world.
She sent Carmella to the floor. Like, it was like, damn!
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like this. I'm always a fan of authority figures, especially when they get to the point where it's like they're just slightly abusing their power, but it's not like a gross abuse of power just yet, to the point that it's like obnoxious, right? Like they're just, it's, I'm the boss, you're gonna do what I want kind of moment, and then they overdo it. Like they always go overboard on the abuse of power, but Sonya's in that really sweet spot right now with it that I very much enjoy when they have authority figures. And I like how she's like, no, I'm not gonna lose my count out. No, I'm not gonna lose my DQ. No. Restart the match. And then she loses clean. And they're like, no more. You're done. So yeah, I liked all of this. The match was good. It was very good.
Yeah, it was fine.
Or I should say matches.
It was basically one match. One long extended match. We had Omos and Bobby Lashley in a arm wrestling match. Omos lost, surprisingly, at least I thought, because usually the heel, before they lose, attacks, but instead, he lost, and then attacked. And they laid out Lashley afterward. Usually the bigger guy should win, but here we are.
But you have to continue the story.
Yeah, I know, but, the heel should win that at least once. Like, especially guys 7'4", he should be winning the arm wrestling contest.
I mean, yes. But in this case, no, but yes.
No, but yeah, but no. So, we'll see. So, we go backstage. And they're just sitting in a throne with Damian Priest next to him. He says things are better now that they aren't pleasing the fans. And he took shots at the Tennessee Volunteers. He took a shot at Glenn Jacobs, the mayor, who was backstage all night, by the way. He talked about
good use of him.
Good use of him. They talked about Edge. Edge talked about Edge Styles being at home, separating his shoulder, and all those things. He did some crowd mocking of, you know, the whole thing about the ministry and how he's using Undertaker's purple lightings and took more shots at the internet fans about that because, well, it's very obvious.
Look, if you're going to do it, we're going to call you out on it, okay?
Ed says he didn't think AJ Styles could hit the move with the one arm, that being the phenomenal forearm. And Ed said, told AJ to stay at home, hug his kids tight with that one good arm. And then he looked over at Damian and talked about Finn Balor, whose judgment has been determined and he will be the punishment because Judgment Day has arrived. Appears that's the name of the group is Judgment Day. Interesting choice for the name.
I'm not sure.
I'm not 100% sure that's the name, but it seems like it.
Yeah, I don't think, I hope they don't call it Judgment Day. Like,
it's a good catchphrase. I don't know if it's a good name.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good stable name, but it's a good catchphrase, like you said, but I'm trying to think of a way to work Judgment into, like, a group name, and I just can't come up with anything, but yeah, like, or just call it Judgment. I don't know, but,
Final Judgment or something? I don't know.
Final Judgment, Divine Judgment. Honestly, I would go with, like, Divine Punishment before I went with Divine Judgment.
Divine,
but, like,
Divine Punishment, Divine Interjection or intervention, yeah.
You know, but I need to see the group filled out, but I'll tell you this much. If the group wanted to adopt Finn Balor, I mean, I can think of worse things.
So, Damian took on Finn. They had a pretty solid match. Damian would end up getting the win. Afterwards, Priest kneeled down at Edge and put the fist up. So, yeah. More Taker Kane things. You know?
Yeah.
So there was that on the show. We then had Miz TV with guest Theory. Theory said he grew up watching Miz and it's almost an inspiration. The fans were doing the what and all that stuff. Miz told him shut up. Theory called Miz an inspiration for overcoming odds. He said he'd become the best investment that Mr. McMahon has ever made. Theory said he'll bring the U.S. title to new heights. He said he'll be the youngest U.S. champion in WWE history, or he is the youngest champion in WWE history, and he'll be remembered as one of the greatest. Miz offered him some advice. He said, when people become jealous when you're a champion, he said, everyone in the locker room is a parasite. Miz said everyone should have to earn the right to face Austin Theory in the ring. He said no one should be allowed to just come out and demand a title match, which meant one thing. Someone was coming out to demand a title match. And wouldn't you know it, it's Mustafa Ali. Shock and awe, Mustafa Ali is back on WWE Raw. Miz goes, you still work here? Oh, Theory goes, are you the guy who took the ball and went home? And then we made a Mustafa reference. The younger, are you I'm going to butcher it again. But are you the younger brother of Mustafa Ali?
Mufasa.
Mufasa, thank you. You know, Ali said if he wanted to laugh at a joke, he would watch Miz wrestle. He's discussing matters backstage with Adam Pearce. He said he had to come out when he heard that Theory was a guest on Miz TV, and then he challenged him for a title match. But Theory was like, nah, not going to happen. Ali asked Theory if he was all biceps and no balls. Ali said Theory was running away like his name was The Miz. Theory then called Miz a former champion, Trailblazer, and future first ballot Hall of Famer, and Miz wouldn't run away from a fight. Then he got a text. He was texting with Vince, and basically, you know, hey, you got a match with Ali next. And told him once he's finished with him, he'll wish he had gotten his walking papers. I like that they played into all of the stuff that was happening because you couldn't avoid it. Like, he was playing it up on social too much. You had to address it, you know?
Oh, yeah. It really is the perfect story that it's like, well, weren't you the one that wanted to quit? Do you still work here? Like, I just like that reference because it's like, just Mustafa kind of played it off perfect and he's like, yeah, F you both.
Mustafa Ali would beat The Miz, by the way.
And then he got a surprise. Somebody else wanted to fight him, which, again, I can think of many, many other worse things than this pairing, which is Tommaso Ciampa versus Mustafa Ali. I mean,
it's Ciampa now.
It's Tommaso Ciampa. His name is Tommaso Ciampa.
It's Ciampa now.
His name is Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay, whatever you say.
I do not like the fact that they are taking people's names away from them. Rude. He has a name.
Okay. So, but yeah, Ciampa and Ali as a feud, I'm going with that. Give them time. Let them have a really good match. I'm cool. Let it go. Let it be a thing. So Rhea Ripley was being interviewed. She talked about how her eyes are finally open. She's became Raw Women's Champion when she got here, but then she's been stuck in the tag division and brought down to their level, and she's done with that. And this is where Liv showed up and attacked, and they had to be pulled apart. I liked it.
It was good. It was just kind of awkward because you had Rhea, like, doing the interview and being all intimidating and scary, and then all of a sudden there's just a head that comes into shot, and because it was so tight on Rhea, that all you see is, like, just blonde hair and a head, and it's like, wait, what just happened? It was a little jarring because of just how, like, how tight the shot was.
Mm-hmm. So tonight was all about Randy Orton. Riddle opened the show, had a big celebration for Randy, he brought him out. Fans were big into him. He pointed out he was born in Knoxville, and it's pretty cool that they were holding his anniversary there. He said there have been a lot of ups, downs, twists, and turns, and he hopes the fans aren't sick of him because he's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's, you know, 20 years have flown by. He's wrestled some of the best. John Cena, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Ric Flair, Mick Foley he's had great matches with. He said Foley made him the legend killer, and he wouldn't be anywhere, he wouldn't be there without him. Orton said he was having more fun now than ever during his career, and that was due to Riddle. They had a hug and an arcade bro chant. He said he has ups and downs with the WWE Universe, but they've always come right back and supported him. He loves everyone, and he was done. But Riddle wasn't. He had a surprise for him. He said he has a man who wanted to come out because Orton is a mentor to him. He said this person looked up to him as a mentor and said he and Orton are actually friends, you know, he's the second, you might be third generation, and he's the second generation and all that stuff, and he brings out Cody Rhodes. They hugged. They reunite it. And before he can even say a word, Rollins goes, "Oh, well, isn't this cute?" He comes into the ring. He says, "Orton's stealing his spotlight," or he's accusing Cody of trying to steal Randy's spotlight, just as Cody stole his spotlight at WrestleMania. Rollins to Cody, not everything is about him. He said, "This night's about Randy." Rollins said, "Orton's best years are in the past." He said, "Orton is not the present or the future of WWE. Neither is Cody." Rollins said that people would be inspired by him. This brought up Ezekiel. He said, "He's one of the newest superstars in WWE. It's time for him to say congratulations and introduce himself." So he shook Randy's hand, and he talked about watching Randy with his brother, Elias. Kevin Owens came in and called Ezekiel a liar, and was, you know, "I'm the only one who's sane around here. Yeah, I know you passed a lie detector, but everyone's crazy." Usos came out, said they were 15-year-olds when they started watching Randy. Jimmy asked if he had a favorite Randy Orton moment. He said when they beat them at WrestleMania Backlash for the tag team titles. Mentioned when they were younger, they watched them, and then they think now they're at the same level. This brought out Adam Pearce, who announced in honor of Randy Orton's anniversary, it would be Cody, Ezekiel, Randy, and Riddle taking on Rollins, Owens, and the Usos in the main event.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What is the point of having an actual physical belt on your man panties? I mean, for real. Like, I've never understood that style. Ever. Like, everybody else just wears trunks, right? Like, they're relatively discreet, you know? Or they're flashy, depending on how you want them. I don't understand the addition of an actual physical belt on your man panties. Like, are you that terrified that they're going to fall down? And also, I mean, with the way that Ezekiel's are cut, because he has the high leg, you're going to do a high leg man panty, then at least do the little butt cheek, like, cut in the back so we get a little, you know, cheek action like what the girls do. Just pointing that out. I'm sorry, I was entirely distracted for a good portion of this because I was trying to figure out the belt situation. That's what happens to me whenever I see that style. I just sit here and I'm like, why? I will say the tassels were a nice addition. The match was good. The match was fine. Like, the whole setup for this was good. The whole Randy night was good. Of course, you know, Randy gets the victory because it's Randy night.
It is, in fact, Randy night. He hit 3 RKOs. There was a segment backstage before the main event where Kevin and Seth are talking, and Gable was there and stuff. Like, maybe I was like, maybe we should have put a lie detector test on you, see if you say what you say is true, and yada yada yada, and see who's a better friend. Seth is like, it's not a competition, but it is. But yeah, as Lindsay mentioned, Randy Orton's team got the win in the main event. No real surprise whatsoever. It was Randy night. Of course, Randy's gonna win. If this was in, you know, St. Louis on Randy night, Randy would lose because, you know, they have the hometown kid lose, but it wasn't. It was in Knoxville. But overall, good stuff. Good show. Big surprises, big returns. They're playing up Raw very well after WrestleMania. They're keeping, it's like everyone won these big surprises the night after WrestleMania, right? And they gave you a couple, but it's like, we're seeing more and more every week where it's like, okay, this person's back. Oh, this person's back. It's like, they're doing a good job with it, you know?
They're being very, like I said with Asuka, they're being very thoughtful about how they're bringing back. And it's not just bringing people back to bring people back. It's not just bringing people up to bring people up. It's, you can tell that it's, they're trying to bring people in and have something for them to do.
Yeah.
Because they want them to be successful. And that's the whole point of bringing somebody back or bringing somebody up from NXT, is that you want them to be successful because you've spent all this time investing money into them in terms of watching them grow as a performer, that you want to now get the return on your investment by having them, you know, win over the fans and become your next big star. And it's always a disappointment when that happens, and it's even worse when they have to let people go. So rather than have everybody kind of fall to the wayside, you bring people back, then you use them properly, you use them thoughtfully, and you're going to get a better return on that.
Yeah. Smart booking. Imagine that. WWE doing smart things? What? No way.
Never.
Anyway, that was Raw.
That was Raw.
And that will do it for us right here live on the Raw Post Show Thursday night. It's The Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in. We will have news, notes, NXT, all your favorites. It's The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. SuperLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. It's somebody's birthday, so we'll celebrate that Saturday night, midnight-ish. Before that, Fortnite with friends. Sunday night, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, as they preview WrestleMania Backlash. We'll be back next Monday night, I assume, for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKETSUCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. You can follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward, where I stream Genshin Impact and Fortnite. So go check that out. You can also check me out on YouTube, linzward.rackradioshow.com, or just look for Linz Ward on the YouTubes.
Oh, if you're a subscriber to our channel, chat, this and this are emotes.
Hey.
We got subscriber emotes. A lantern and a mask. Creative, I know. I have another idea for one. I just have to get it done. So there you go. That's one reason to subscribe to the channel, by using your Twitch Prime. My heel just punning that one out. Anyway, that'll do it for us. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack. And right back here every Monday night for the Royal Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.